This is a relatively lighter sugya. I wasn't sure exactly how awake all of you would be after 2 days of Purim, or whatever you guys did. So, yeah, there's no chumra to do that in Modiyah. By an Efrat there is. There's a bit of a suffix. But I wanted to talk about the issue of the Shnei Tavshilin, the two cooked foods that you put on your Seder plate, and some broader implications of it on Seder night. The Gemara, after we finished with the Trei Tibule and the dippings, so the Gemara had picked up on the Mishnah's comment that you should have Shnei Tavshilin, right? So if you remember, the Mishnah says, Shnei Tavshilin, you should have Avil of Matzah, Chazer Charoset, Shnei Tavshilin. You should bring the Matzah, the Maror, the Charoset, and two cooked food. So the Gemara says, my Shnei Tavshilin, what are these things? So Amar Rav Huna, Silka, the Arosa, beets and rice. Now, obviously, parenthetically, you should note here that this is one of the key sources that is invoked in the kidney out discussion, because it's clear that in the time of the Gemara they were having rice, and therefore, now we all know it's a minhag, we all know it's a later minhag, and nevertheless, when you have a explicit Gemara that says that it was a minhag to put rice on your Seder plate, that does force people to ask about kidney out, so we'll just put that in brackets. Now, Rava have a mahadir asilka v'arosa. Now, even though it's clear that this is just an example, but you don't need specifically beets and rice, Rava would specifically look for beets and rice. Ho'ol v'nafik mipume de Rav Huna. Because that's what Rav Huna said, or literally, that is what came out of the mouth of Rav Huna. And he was like, oh, that's what he said. That's what my Rebbe said. Amar of Ashi Shmamina Dirav Shmamina Dirav Huna lit the Chayesh Lahad Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri. So you see from here the fact that Rav Huna was willing to have rice shows that he's not Choshesh. And again, the Gemara doesn't bring up kidney out, but there is a position we'll talk about a little bit next week for those of you who are coming to the bakery thing and are not going in the 3 days of Yom Liam. That the Riocha Manuri holds the Tanya Riocha Manuri Omer Orez Min Daganu, the Chayavin Al Chimuto Karet. Riochanan thought that rice was one of the grains, and therefore, if it rises, you will have Karet if you eat it. Vaadam Yotze Yidei Chovato BePesach, and therefore, he thought you could even use it for matzah. Close parentheses. Gemara says Chizki Omer Afilu Dag Ubeitza She'alav. He says you could even have a fish with egg on it.
Egg on it or not two separate?
No, that's the Chiddush. The Chiddush is that when he defines two foods, he's saying two foods doesn't necessarily mean two foods. It can even be a food with two components, right? And even though one of them is primary and the egg here is more of a...
Popping.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what it is. I don't know exactly what he's talking about.
I would have thought that the finish would be that you might think that since they're commanded in Kabbalah, you need actual meat and like there's a fish, you know.
What do you mean? The Gemara takes it as obvious that you can use beets and rice, and now it says a chiddush, you can even use fish.
No, but he's the status.
You don't need meat. Clearly don't need meat. The classic example is beets and rice. That was the Gemara's example, beets and rice.
I thought this was a difference.
No. Now he says, even fish with the egg on it. Nope. Look at Rashbam. Look at Rashbam. Afilu dagu beitza shalav. 1 second. Show you regilim lahatiach haradab beveitzim. They used to, like, you know, wipe egg on the fish. V'hainu rivuta. This is the chiddush. The avogav the dami l'tav shalechad. Even though it's sort of like one food, chashiv shnei tav shilin. It is considered two. Yes. Okay.
There's, when you
Okay, but there's not rice carbono, and there's not beets carbono. But the Gemara is saying this is not like him. This is according to the position. First of all, there is no rice carbon, and there's no beet carbon. See, you guys are so brainwashed by what we do that you forget the source of this, and that's why it's worth at least spending a day on it. It's not like a heavy, heavy sugya, but it's interesting. Now, you are right that meat might have been the presumed lechatchila. Why? Because even though the Gemara presents silk of arosa as... Now, if you just read our Gemara, would you think that there's any preference to meat?
No.
No. Why would you not think that? Because first of all, it just says silk of arosa, beets and rice. Second of all, if there were lechatchila, if what Rav... The simple pshat is that if Rav Huna was coming and telling you that even beets and rice, but the lechatchila is meat, then the next line, then the next line is mechudash, because what's the next line? That Rava would specifically look for rice and beets. He'd specifically look for rice and beets. Why? Because that's what his Rebbe said. Now I understand that it's very nice to do it exactly as your Rebbe said, but if your Rebbe is saying that this works with the Eved, so then
you wouldn't quote it, oh, this is what my Rebbe said.
Correct. You wouldn't say, well, I'm specifically going to go out and make sure I did what my Rebbe said works with the Eved.
Right.
Right. You wouldn't do that. Right? That would be weird. He's telling you the parameters. He's telling you, even if you did this, be Yotze. He's not telling you to do this. You wouldn't then say, aha, I will do it in the least ideal way just because my Rebbe said that you're Yotze b'di Eved. So the simple shot in the Gemara is that it's just two cooked foods with no preference for any food over the other. Nevertheless, right, nevertheless, both Rashbam and Tosfot have this funny line, and they say, "V'kol shegein shni mene basar." Both Rashi, both Rashbam, and Tosfot said that. Right? Rashbam says it, and Tosfot says, "Silk of arosa, v'kol shegein shni mene basar." At this stage in the Gemara, why would you say kol shegein shni mene basar? What hints do you even have for this? That meat is better? At this stage in the Gemara?
Maybe because it's more chashuv.
Good. So you could have just said it's more chashuv. Right? You need, the problem is that the obvious question you have to ask is, wait, why are we doing this at all?
Well, yeah.
Meaning at this point, the Gemara has not yet told us why you need two cooked foods at all. Yeah, we don't know whether chashuv is important. We have no idea. I mean, maybe chashuv. Obviously, they're going to go in the direction of what the Gemara is going to introduce, and they have to read it backwards, which is the reason that everyone is saying this, because they're reading it backwards,
right,
is based on, because at the beginning of the Gemara, I have no clue why I have two cooked foods.
Right.
So then the Gemara says, okay. Rav Yosef Omar Tzarech Shnei Minei Basar. Rav Yosef says you need two types of meat. Echad Zecher LePesach, Echad Zecher LeChagiga. One to commemorate the Pesach, and one to commemorate the Karban Chagiga. Okay, let's pause there for a second. So, Rav Yosef says you need two pieces of meat. One Zecher LePesach, one Zecher LeChagiga. What do the... So he clearly holds that what is the purpose of these pieces of... these cooked foods? Yeah, they are Zecher LeKarbana. Good. What does the previous position hold? The position who doesn't hold that you need two types of meat? Does he hold that it commemorates the Pesach and the Chagiga? You tell me. What do you think? So, let's do this very simply. The analysis here is not hard. I'm not. This is not a hard thing.
Right? One is that two foods are Zecher to Pesach and Chagiga.
Which assumption is the are the earlier shita arguing on?
Two.
So probably two. If they're arguing on two, then that means everybody holds that it's zeicher to Pesach. And the Chagiga, they're only arguing on the question of whether the of how tight of a commemoration it is. But they all agree to of a commemoration. In theory, we don't know that, right? In theory, one second, we don't know that.
We're assuming that.
Why do we not know that?
Because
they never say this. Because they could be arguing that it's there for one other reason. What reason could that be? I haven't the slightest idea. But they could, in theory, be arguing on it. Now, you do have to wonder, though, that, remember, parenthetically, the Gemara has thrown out the possibility that two doesn't actually equal two, right? Two actually equals not one plus one, right? This is obvious, but two can also equal, for these purposes, one plus a fraction. One over, right?
One.
Right, one plus a little bit.
One plus one over
one. One over something, right? Meaning, what?
I'm rounding up here.
Or to put it, yes, exactly. Two is really, right, a rounding up from one point X.
Fine,
okay.
I can accept that.
Now, this is sort of weird if you hold this, right? I mean, sorry, if you hold this. If everyone agrees that it's Zecher to Pesach and the Chagiga, then it's a little bit weird that two doesn't equal two. Two is...
Yeah, you think that's the minimum thing of the two...
Correct. Now, it's clear, I think, that according to Rav Yosef, this would not work. Because he needs a tight zecher, he would probably not just think you need me, but I would guess that he also thinks you need two equals mamash, one plus one. I'm assuming. Right? I assume that he needs a tight zecher. Again, the Tanakhama needs either thinks it's not a zecher, in which case I don't know what it is, or he needs less of a tight zecher. But so far we have two expressions of that. One is that it doesn't need to be meat, and the second is he doesn't seem to need two actual, that's right, two separate foods. Right? He doesn't need two separate foods. He suffices with one plus, you know, more than one.
Two just means more than one.
Two means more than one, correct. And then it's ki'ilu, it's two. Ravina amar afilu garma uvishula, even meat and gravy. Now, interesting question. When Ravina says even meat and gravy, what is he saying? Who is he saying this within?
Possibly within that fish.
Meaning possibly within Rav Yosef, which is that no, maybe Rav Yosef doesn't believe this. He thinks two equals one plus, it equals one point X, but it needs meat, right? So it's not clear. Is Ravina saying within Rav Yosef? Even that Rav Yosef, meaning he thinks it's a tight enough zecher that it needs meat,
right, so
but it's a weak enough zecher that it doesn't actually need two separate meats? Or is he saying, or do we have now three positions, right? Which is two meats, right? One meat plus, or two non-meats, and that one non-meat plus. Right, we don't actually know whether Ravina is clarifying Rav Yosef or introducing his own position or not. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Now, there is yet another expression of this. So if you look at Rashbam, Rashbam says that it's not just that Rav Yosef thinks the Zecher is tight enough that you need two meats, he also thinks that one of them must be roasted. It's sli keneged ha-pesach One of them must be roasted to commemorate the Pesach, which had to be roasted. How do I know the Pesach had to be roasted? Thank you. Good. This wasn't a trick question. I was just hoping you knew that. Because the Torah says so. It says it has to be tzli, eish, and not mevushal, and not na, not raw, and not cooked in liquid. It must be roasted. And then he says, umuvushal keneged chagiga kachbir shrabenu chananel meromi. Chananel says, and one of them should be cooked. Now, by cooked, he could mean one of two things, which is either... Well, it could either mean it must be cooked or it can be, may be cooked. Very good. It's not clear which he means, right? Is he saying it doesn't have to be roasted because the chagiga didn't have to be roasted? Or is he saying it must not be roasted because otherwise it would look like you're commemorating the Pesach times two and two Karim Pesachs you can't do. Grumo garma vishula chatikid basam arakshan id bashla bo. Okay. Ah, good. There is such a shita. Very good. Furthermore, it shows that he's paskening not like the shita who says that, and this is a sugya earlier in the Masechet, of whether the chagiga is a chaloshein Pesach and therefore follows the halachot of Pesach or not. It's a complicated sugya earlier in the Masechet. Very good. That's what the Acharon point out, is that Rabbi Chananel is clearly also thinking that the question of which zecher you have depends on which shita you have by the Karban Pesach, and the Chagiga, which only furthers, right, whether you pass Rabbi Yehuda or not. Wow. I know, right? A lot of wonderful things, the continuing Tosfot, Shnei Mini Basar, Pej Rabbeinu Chananel, Sli Zecher LePesach, Uvoshu Zecher Chagiga, and this, sorry, it's not the Acharon, it's this Tosfot, right? Tosfot says, Narishkeit, what are you talking about?
One second.
Okay, fine. So Tosfot pushes back and he says, what are you talking about? What is Rabbi Chananel doing? We paskin that the chagiga does have to be roasted. Which means that you find out you have a fascinating machloket Rabbeinu Chananel and Tosfot, either about how tight the symbolism has to be, or about whether we paskin like Ben Tema or not, on whether the chagiga itself integrates into the Pesach, which is the fascinating lamed sugya, and therefore requires tzli as well. Now, it could be, I would just throw out, that it strikes me that the question of whether, even when the Rabbi Yosef, who holds you need meat because it's zecher, whether you need two meats or you can do meat and it's gravy, might actually be a machloket about, even though it's true that the chagiga and the Pesach are two separate karbanot, the fact that at some level the chagiga does integrate into the Pesach, maybe they're arguing about how much the chagiga conceptually, even though it's a separate karban, is really secondary to the Pesach. I throw that out as a possibility. The Madin Adzer Kavadah Kachnir Chavayim Mevushalin V'chein Mash Malashon Davshilin. Now, according to Tosfot, though, what should your conclusion have been? That both of them should be what? Roasted. They should both be roasted. But Tosfot says they're called Davshilin, and therefore they both can
be cooked.
So now what do we have?
So we have, even within the roasting,
he has said that according to Rabbi Yosef, the fact that you need two meats shows that he holds, it's a very tight zecher. Is that true? Well, that's a machloket what? Tosfot and Rabbi Chananel, where that you need meat, so he clearly holds, it's a somewhat tighter zecher. However, Rabbeinu Chananel thinks it's a very tight zecher, and therefore not only does it need to be meat, but it needs to be roasted meat. And Tosfot said, Ma pitom, even according to Rabbi Yosef, that it thinks it's a tight enough zecher that you need meat and not rice and beets, thinks that what? It's not a tight enough zecher to require roasting, or maybe Dafka should not be roasted because, as we see earlier in the Masechet, we didn't do this sugya, but there's a problem with having roasted meat on Pesach night. Why? Because then it looks like it's not a zecher. It looks like it's actually the Karban Pesach. So maybe you, Dafka, would want it to not be roasted to show that this is only a zecher. Because you always have this duality in a zecher. On the one hand, you want it to be a tight commemoration. On the other hand, you don't want it to be too tight, because then it looks like the real thing. So then Tosfos continues, Echad zecher lepesach lechagiga, kishechal yodal liyot b'shavat, ein sarech rak bishul echad. Then, despite the fact that Tosfos had just said what? That does he take it as a very tight commemoration? Not really, meaning he thinks they should both be mevushal. But then he suddenly switches gear and gets very, very tight on you, and he says, aha! And if Pesach falls on Motzei Shabbat, so there was a special halacha when Pesach fell on Motzei Shabbat, and that was, you didn't bring the Chagiga because only the Pesach is Doche Shabbat, but not the Chagiga. So those would say, therefore on Motzei Shabbat Pesach, you should only have one cooked food because you didn't bring the Chagiga. Umi omeri, and the Ri says, no, to be komakom ein lechale. Don't distinguish. Didami lechova. Because if, why does he say don't do that? This is like amazing mental jujitsu there. He says, no, if you do what? If you don't bring the second food when Pesach is Motzei Shabbat, it looks like you think it's an actual Chagiga and right, not only a Zecher. So you should dafka keep two foods, because otherwise it would look like it's more than a Zecher, because you would think it actually shares the halacha of the Chagiga. Therefore, because then it would be the dummy lechova imanu manichin.
Wow. So it, on all levels, aside from the fact that we bring it whenever we, even if we wouldn't bring the Chagiga, on all other levels it would be considered.
Correct. And then we would be worried that if we lost the symbolism, this is, watch the replay, he's speaking out of two sides of his mouth. Exactly, he says, don't not do it, because then it would look like it is a Chagiga. But if you don't do it, then people will think that on a regular Pesach, you don't need a Chagiga, so they won't do it. He says, and don't be worried that they'll end up thinking that, well, we brought the Zechel Chagiga on Shabbos, and therefore we will also bring the Chagiga on Shabbat. Don't think that'll happen. Why? And therefore they will end up bringing the Chagiga. Why?
Because we brought this.
Dak Rava Mizrula's reason. Because the actual bringing of the Karban is done by Kohanim, and Kohanim will know the difference between a Zecher and not a Zecher. And not just that, Tosfot gets very Tosfot on you, and he says it's not just the Kohanim. Who will be there to make sure we get it right? Moshe and Aaron themselves will be there to make sure, like that song, right? Yeah. But if someone decides not to do two, then we don't stop him. So what you see is that this sugya is actually very weird. It's not a hard sugya, but it's very weird. Yeah. Because it starts off with a very simple chakira, which is, let's assume that it's a zecher. How tight of a zecher is it? And this is a very natural question, right? Which is, you're doing a commemoration. So is a commemoration a mere commemoration, or is it more than a mere commemoration?
Okay.
And then you could have said, yeah, well, that's the machloket. If you think it's a commemoration, mamish, then you need two types of meat, and maybe you should care about the roasting and the cooking, and etc. And if you think it's not, so then it doesn't have to be meat, and maybe it doesn't really have to be two foods. But then very quickly, the Gemara make and the Rishonim make it a nightmare, because you have Ravina, who says, maybe possibly even with the Rav Yosef, who says that it's a mamish zecher, that you don't really need two, you need meat plus gravy. And then you have to ask, well, why? Is that because he thinks it's a mir zecher, or does he think that the Chagiga integrates conceptually into the Pesach, therefore needs a 1 point question mark and not two? And then you have the question of, okay, well, how tight is it? Even within Rav Yosef, is it roasted and not roasted, or dafka not roasted because then it looks too much like the real thing, because you want it to be a real zecher but not too much of a zecher? And then you have the question about Shabbat, which is it so much of a zecher that you that you don't bring the second one on Shabbat, or does holding it too tight make it elevated from zecher to the actual thing, and therefore you have to avoid making it too tight? And we have these cross purposes. On the one hand, we want it to look symbolically like the carbon. On the other hand, we don't want it to look like more than symbolism of the carbon. So you're caught in this nightmare where you have to calibrate precisely at the right point, which is enough of a zecher but not too much of a zecher, Rachman Litzlan Oleinu, and that is what you get. Again, not like amazingly lumdish, but when you actually get into it, it's not lumdish. It's like, it's actually quite interesting. Good. That's like the background lumdish to it. I gave you just basic halachic sources on this. And then I wanted, really, the only reason I wanted to do this, because I wanted to present you with Ray Chorsky's thesis, which I think is a much broader. But let's pin down the actual minhag lahalacha. So the Torah writes, "Mivin levav karo shabo shalosh matzah to marvach karo zeshay rakod meizim and shiirta ushnei tavshila." Okay, you bring two cooked foods, and then the Beit Yosef matzah to meizim and shiirta shamika mander silka varosa vika mander dagu beitza vika mander shnei minei basar. So the Gemara has three shita. It brings the vegetables, the egg, and the fish and egg, and meat. The Harambam, that should be Pasak. Commander Mishneini Vine Basar. The Rambam seems to be Machmir, like the tighter commemorative position, and say that you should have two pieces of meat. The Chain Pasqua got my moniot. The Chazbu Oda got my got the Rashbam. Shapir Rabbeinu Chanan Ashiyish Likach Shnei Minei Basar Tzli Umevushal Tzli Keneged HaPesach Umevushal Keneged Chagiga. So that goat Maimonia seems to go very much in the Zecher, the strong Zecher. You need meat. One should be roasted. One should either not be roasted or doesn't have to be roasted. Okay, that's that goat Maimonia. He takes Rabbeinu Chanan within Rav Yosef to generate a very close Zecher parallel. Ve'eno Nir L'ri. But it's Tosfot pushes back. No, he pushes back on it and says, no, because the chagiga needs to be tzli, but instead of therefore saying you need two tzlis, he says, neither of them. And he makes it very clear, not that you need it to be cooked, but that it pashut doesn't matter. Meaning, just because you need the zecher in terms of the chefta, doesn't mean you mean the zecher in terms of the process. Correct. Yes. Correct. But it does sound, correct. It does sound like he wants them to be similar. Right? Meaning, you don't need to care about the process, but you do need to care about the parallelism in the process. Yeah. How's that for confusing? Good. Now, I didn't give you the rest. But, you know what this is. Some say that when Pesach is Motzei Shabbat, you shouldn't take two. And that is the position of the Rosh. The Rosh actually paskins that way. Like the first day in Tosfot. Then on Friday, on Motzei Shabbat Pesach, you don't have the second one. Why? Because of the strength of the parallelism, what would it do? It would make you think that you bring the Chagiga on Shabbat. And that is the vision of Kohen Rukam Shikach Nir Ikar. And Rabbeinu Peretz, Paskins like the second day in Tosfot, and the Mordechai, and the Mogod Maimonior, and the Smak, which is the exact opposite. Don't not have it on Shabbat, because then that makes it too much of a, right? That raises it to that level. How you doing?
Yeah,
I did not expect your... Okay. So then he quotes the Kalbo, the Rishon Shaminag Lakachat Zroa Ubeitza. The Rushal, he quotes, the Kalbo quotes the position the Rushal may that tightens the Zecher even more. That it's not just meat, but it would be a Zroa, a shank bone, right? An actual piece of a, and an egg. Klomar, but why the egg? Klomar, ba rachmana lemifrak yatna bedara miramima. Because what is an egg in Aramaic? Be'a. Which sounds like, yeah, what God wants to, slash we prayed for it, right? Ba'uta is a prayer, right? So it's, we have an egg, so the Zroa is a tight symbolism, but the egg is in linguistic symbolism, which is God wanted to redeem us. And he says, why a Zroa? He says, the Zroa isn't only a commemoration of the carbon. It's also because it's also a linguistic one, which is that Zroa is the word used in the Pasuk that God took us out. Bizroa Nituya. You know, I should probably... you know, someone want to run in and just... bring them over to Ray Wasserman since he's not giving share, or if he's not giving share right now, or if he's here. Is he here? I saw him, but is he currently here? Anyways, okay. But yeah, so despite the fact that the Gemara seems to say that, and the Rishonim seem to think that Zroa is a tight commemoration of the Karban, the Yosef quotes the position that no, Zroa itself, you thought it was a tight commemoration of the Karban? It's not. It's a linguistic commemoration of God's outstretched arm. Wow. So now, if I stop there, you would say, is it a tight or a loose commemoration? Loose. Because he said, why do you need a Zroa? To commemorate the linguistic thing that God took us out of the outstretched arm. It's not tight to a carbon, except... you would think that, except his next words are "Ve'ein solon of the bishvud," but don't roast it on a spit. Rock al gachalim, do it straight on the coals. Vatam b'fishu zeichel pesach, because it's like the pesach. Pesach lo hayaditzla. Ella bishvud shel rimon, and the only type of spit you could use for a pesach is a one made of a pomegranate tree. Mechazach shel rimon, and you won't be able to find it because. Otherwise, the Gemara goes through this earlier because certain woods, the inside the sap will heat up and therefore will cook it from the inside rather than roast it. So it has to be a rimon, which is drier. Correct, because we roast it on the inside. It has to be roasted throughout. And therefore, you can't put a spit in it that will cook it on the inside from the sap of the or the moisture in the tree. Correct. So then he says, aha, so maybe you should have a Zroa that is roasted on a spit made of rimon wood. Says, no, because then it would be terach gadol. That would be too hard. And why do you have the egg? Because it's a mourning food. And we're mourning for the Beit HaMikdash on Seder night. V'yeshomrim. Alternatively, mibnishi kala levashel, or because it's easy to cook. Oh, anyone else have a headache yet? Right, we're like, it's like whiplash. You're going from, this is the Karban Pesach, and you can only roast it on the precise way that you roast the Karban Pesach, to, it's about God's outstretched arm, and like, you know, and don't make it too much like the Pesach, because like, that's just too much work, and it's Pesach, we already have so much going on. It's like, right, it's like, woo, right? We're like, it is the Karban Pesach, but it isn't, but don't make it too much like the Karban Pesach. Good. Exactly. Shulchan Aruch Paskin, Mevi'in Lefenei Ba'al HaBayit, Ka'ara Sheish B'Shlosha Matzot, Amar V'Charosev, V'Karpas, Yerach Acher, Shnei Tafshilin, Echad, L'Zecher, L'Pesach, V'Chazecher, L'Gigav, V'Nagul, V'Basar, V'Veitza. It says the minhag is to use meat and Eggs. The Rama writes, Visadakar Lafana Binyan Shino Tsar Lavral a mitzvah, that on karpasi lamalam and alcohol vachum and samachly matzah, whatever you need put in front, so that you don't have to pass over it. Vamatzah min amor vacharoset emi yoter yoter krom elim and abasar beitza, to have the matzah and maror closer than the basar and the beitza. Vabasar nagushi is zroa. The nagush abasar yid sliyal gechalim beitza tiyem mevushelet. And he says, and the minog is that the meat should be roasted, and the egg should be cooked. What does it sound like? Dafka cooked. And then his next line, v'hu adin sluya. Or roasted. As we have the minog in our city. Mishtabura says, Zecher l'chagiga, v'imchal erev bezach b'shabbat. What if it's Friday night, of Motzei Shabbat? Yesh omrim, de'ein zarech likach, rak tafshel echad, can I get Pesach l'chagiga, deino ba'az, shina doch ha'shabbat. Some say only one. V'yesh omrim, de'aval b'chin zarech l'atzo, shay tafshel l'kimo b'shardin, and v'lo polag rabbanan. And some say you always have two, because of a low plug. And it's a zecher la'alma, v'chein agin. And then, in Shulchan Aruch, does it sound like you should dafka have an egg and meat? Yes, because of all the symbolism of an egg. Mishnah Berurah says, v'kol shekeinu bar lasa shein basar, unless you want to do two pieces of meat, which is even better. What? I thought we did eggs dafka. And it should be echad sliv echad, v'mushal l'vechav v'chagig, v'deshaber dami el adaf, v'beitze yotei bazeh. So he says, some say egg is second, is bidiavad, and some say that it's v'yezgad mashabachu b'veyak, or boy rachma lifrak yadna. And some say, no, the egg is specifically because we want God to redeem us, like the kolbo. V'yezgad mashabachu b'zecher la'veilud, and some say that veilud bin amigdash, enan yucholon lahakrev v'karon pesach. The Aruch HaShulchan says, v'yezgad amutav yodil avashel abasar v'beitza. Some say that it should dafka be both cooked. Why would you say not just that you can cook both, but you should?
Because you don't
want to. No, he says you want to be able to eat it. Rav Shulchan says, oh, if you roast it, you're not allowed to have roasted meat on Pesach night. Aha! So you should dafka cook it so you can eat it. Which adds another level, which is it a zecher by being present or a zecher by being eaten? What's the problem? If it's zecher by being eaten, you've strengthened the zecher, but now what do you need to do? Weaken it, because you can't have something that looks like you're eating the carbon pesach b'chutz. So you have two options. Either strengthen the zechar by eating it, but then you have to weaken the process by cooking it, because otherwise it's too close. Or make it a zechar being present, but don't eat it. So strengthen it by making it roasted. You don't want to leave it till the second night, because it'll go bad. Even something like Rishona. You're not going to make it like a vero. But he says, but the egg, which is less symbolic of a carbon, you could roast and eat. So he's like, aha, the meat, if you roasted it, you couldn't eat it, because then it would look like the carbon. But the egg, you could roast and eat. Which means we're straddling, make it symbolic, but not too symbolic. So the egg is less symbolic, so it can be roasted, which is more symbolic, and eaten. The zroa, if you want to eat it, only cook it, don't roast it. Yalla, woo! The Yeshagatzu, and some say he says that it's Avelud. Sorry, I went back to the Driv. If it's Lenu Nagul of Asha Basar Vabeta, Lovetum Makum Chagigam Shonagin Lechel Beitzim Allah Seder. And he says, aha, and why do you have eggs for the Chagiga? Because, very lumdish reason, because we have eggs at the Seder.
What?
That's it. He's like, why do we have eggs for the Chagiga? Because that's what people eat at the Seder. People like hard boiled eggs. It's very lumdish. What? So this is the Aruch HaShulchan. Yeah, we have eggs. Why do you use dafka eggs? So it's even less formal than because it's easy to cook. It's because people like eating eggs. So that's what we use. It's a protein source, which is clean. I don't know. Because we work out on Erev Pesach, and you can't have all your kidneyot, based protein powders, right? Because it's soy, and you don't want to have your protein. You don't want to have the whey because, you're having meat. So, like, eggs. We have eggs. That's why. Oh, they're very lumpish. And the cop, I have Seder. I don't know. The Kaf HaChaim says, Kainogin, Vataz Katav debates it even Dafka. Right? The Taz says, make it Dafka cooked. Lepishen Ochlin Sleep. Really Pesach. Aval Amishpin Shel Zav Katav Lefi Shkodav Arav Ba God Nogin Lissol Af Beita Rashai Lechol Beita Laf Sli. Right, the Taz says you can't even have roasted egg. Because it's roasted. The Prima Godim in the Shulchan Aruch says, no, an egg you could have roasted. B'chein Gavaz Araz, and that's what Shulchan Aruch says. The Beit Oten Bein Tzulei Bein, which Shulchan Aruch B'tach HaSuda. B'chein Kadur Chai Adam. And he says, now he adds, aha, V'in Yan Seder Omrim, Yud Beis Debeit, Yesh Beit Debeit Tzim Tzlu Yud Mutter Lechol, Chein Adik HaTaz. His final conclusion is, after this chaos, everyone do whatever your minhag is. So, I think I've convinced you at this point, the following. The two cooked foods that you have is a zecher. How tight of a zecher? Some say weak, some say strong but not too strong. Some say it's zecher in the process, some say it's zecher in the presence. Some say if you're going to eat it, which heightens the zecher of the presence, then, sorry, of the process of eating it, then you have to weaken the zecher of the process, and therefore you have to cook it. Some say, even by eggs, if you roast it, that makes it too much like the karpan. Other people say, no, it's an egg. You can roast the egg and up the egg of the process, but lower the zecher of the chefza, and then you can eat it. Some say that... Correct, and some say that even the Zroa, which you thought, which the tightest Zecher, is actually about Yitzhak Mitzrayim, that God went to Zroa, it's a linguistic one. Some say the egg is a linguistic one. Some say the Chagiga. Very good, now you've convinced you. Very good, so now I'm sure I've convinced you how lumdish the Sugya is. It is, it's weirdly lumdish in a very odd way. But that wasn't why I wanted to do this. I mean, it's fun to do this type of weird lumdish, but the reason I really wanted to do this is because by the end of this, you're like, I don't know what you want for my life. Why are we spending so much time figuring out a zecher where it's completely chaotic? Where you have people who are like, well, it could be a vegetable, it has to be meat, it has to be a zecher, it's not too much of a zecher, a little bit less of a zecher, and like, the egg is either zecher l'chagiga, or maybe it's mourning of the Beit HaMikdash. Very good. So Rav Tversky has this very nice little article where he argues that this all makes sense if you recognize that Zecher LeMikdash is not just something we do, but is actually, right, all the details we're putting in of making a Zecher LeMikdash as much as we can, but not too much, starts to make sense if you think that there's a chalos of Zecher LeMikdash, which is actually part of the Mitzvot HaLayla. And Rav Tversky goes farther. It's not just part of the Mitzvot HaLayla, but it's part of Sipur Yitzhiyat Mitzrayim. Okay, and that is the thesis I wanted to introduce you to, because I think that begins to make sense of it. So if you look at the article I gave you, this should not be hard for you to read. It is
English.
I don't think he wrote it in Hebrew. He wrote it in English. But let's skim through it, okay? So he says, well, how many things do we do Zecher LeMikdash? The most important one we do is Korech. Now, by Korech, not only do we have a Zecher LeMikdash, we actually say Zecher LeMikdash. The Mishnah Berurah says you shouldn't. You shouldn't say those words. Why? Because it's a hefsek between matzah and maror. Because isn't Korech just another way of being mekayim matzah maror? That means you should have it without being mafsek. However, what's the minag? To say it. So Rav Tversky says the fact that we say it, even though there's a problem with hefsek, what does that seem to highlight? That highlighting the fact that it's Zecher LeMikdash is itself important, and therefore it's not a hefsek, that it's part of the mitzvah. A second piece of evidence of the centrality of Zecher LeMikdash is the bracha of Asher Ge'olanu. The original bracha of Asher Ge'olanu was Asher Ga'alanu v'ga'al et avotenu mimitzrayim. Does anyone remember what our bracha is? Good. So that's all true. That's still the same. And now what is our girsa? This is based on Rabbi Akiva. This is not... Listen to the bracha. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Ga'alanu v'ga'al et avotenu mimitzrayim. Vihigyanu la laila ze lechobo matzah maror. And brought us the night in matzah maror. So far, weird, not so much. This is the bracha. Remember, you're going to say this at the Seder. Cain is a bracha, a mitzvah. Cain Hashem Elokeinu veElokei Avoteinu Yagienu lemoadim limacherim abayim lekratenu leshalom. May God bring us to the next holidays in peace. Smechim bivinyan irecha, rejoicing in the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. V'sasim avodecha, rejoicing in the avot of the Beit Hamikdash. V'nochal sham min hazvachim min hapsachim, and let us eat the korban Pesach and the chagiga. Asher yagia damam al kir mizbachecha leratzon, whose blood goes on the mizbeach as a ratzon before again. V'nodilach asher chadash al geulatenu, so then we can then sing you a new song on our redemption. V'al pidut nafshenu, and the redemption of our souls. Baruch atah Hashem gal Yisrael. And he says, well, that's a nice bracha. Whoa, how is that a legitimate birchat mitzvah? What type of insanity is that? We've incorporated, it's like the end of a shul drasha, incorporated into our bracha, b'mheira yibona beis ha-mikdash, ad bias gol tzedek, b'mheira of yameinu, v'noimar, amen. Right? It's like the way someone once said to me, right, Mashiach, we owe Mashiach a debt of gratitude because he has saved many endless drasha by giving us an end. Right? Even a drasha that is no end, that the person is not a good speaker, he can just, right, he's circling. Well, you know how many people, they're like circling, they don't know how to finish their drasha, and finally they're like, until Mashiach comes, and everyone's like, oh, end of the drasha, oh, mate. It's like, why is that incorporated into the bracha itself? Yes. The end of Maggid. That's how we end Maggid. Pay attention to this. Yes, exactly. The end of the drasha, we end it with Mashiach. You're like, that's why we do it, to end the drasha. Very good. And then he says, okay, wait a second. Now we start to see a pattern. Because we have Korech, where we think that the word Zecher HaMikdash Gelel apparently make it not a hefsek. Then we have a bizarro bracha that ends Maggid that incorporates a full-out tefillah for the return of the details of Karbon, and the blood should be... Then we have this bizarre, which we just spent 40 minutes on, this minhag of the two tavshilim, where it has to be a zecher, but not too much of a zecher, but not too little of a zecher, roasted, da-da-da-da-da. Then we have the netziv that we saw at the end of last week, who said what? That the reason we wash for karpas on Seder night, remember this was the last thing I said I would come back to it, was that there are three shitot. Is it because it's a chiyuv? It's part of the Seder, or what does the Netziv say? It's a zecher to the time in which you had to wash your hands because you actually had karbanot, and on Seder night we wash our hands as if we were about to eat a karban. So it's not a chiyuv now, but it's a chiyuv to mimic the time when we would have had karban present. So Rav Tversky says, okay, this pattern is emerging. What accounts for this preoccupation with the Beit HaMikdash? Oh, sorry. And the Ramah, by the way, also says that why do we have an egg, Zecher LeMikdash? I didn't mention this. Because Pesach night falls on the first day, same day of the week as Tisha B'Av. So it's not just Stam Zecher LeMikdash, it is because it's like Tisha B'Av. And we're commemorating Mikdash. It's like, what are we doing? Yes, well, because you know this, right? That first night of Pesach. Do you know how this works,
right?
Not great.
With the Tavshin raise this thing, yeah. Right? That Tisha B'Av, the nights of Pesach always correspond. Tisha B'Av is always day one of Pesach. Shavuot is always the same night as the second night of Pesach. Rosh Hashanah is always the same night as the third night of Pesach.
You mean the same night in the week?
Yeah, in the week. It's just a mnemonic. It's helpful to know. But it happens to be that it always happens. It always works out that way. It goes six in. Ah, so that's the Zionist for it. Is it goes through all of them, right? Shavuot is second, Rosh Hashanah is at, then Tzavi is, I think, Yom Kippur is Tzom, right? Right? Kuf is, I'm trying to remember what it is, it's, no, it's something. And then, but But Zionists love pointing that if you actually get to Ayin, it falls out of the Yom Ha'atzmaut, right? And then they're like, aha! Okay, anyway. But, yalla, anyways. So, Rav Tversky says, okay, maybe we can push this farther and note that Yetziyat Mitzrayim is actually, right, so Rav Tversky's thesis is that this isn't accidental. It's that Zeicher Yetziyat Mitzrayim is a din in Sipur Yetziyat Mitzrayim. How does he prove it? So first he says, well, I have a pasuk. First I have a pasuk, and that is from Shirat Hayam. In Shirat Hayam, Kriya Yamsuf, which is the pinnacle of Yetziyat Mitzrayim, what does the pasuk say? That the end of the Shirat Hayam is what? You're going to bring us to the Beit HaMikdash. Which means that the culmination of Yetziyat Mitzrayim is the Beit HaMikdash. Unkelis goes farther and he says, Ze'ili va'anvehu. So remember we saw there are different Shitot and Chazal, but Unkelis follows. How does he translate ve'anveyu from what Sharesh? Nave, that I will make you an abode. Which means that we were singing at Yetziyat Mitzrayim and we said, I will make a... Furthermore, Shlomo HaMelech, when he builds the Beit HaMikdash, what does the pasuk say? He built the Beit HaMikdash in the 480th year since the Jews left Mitzrayim. So the pasuk implies that what? The building of Beit HaMikdash is the culmination of the process that started with Yetziyat Mitzrayim. So why? In what sense was the building of Beit HaMikdash the culmination of Yetziyat Mitzrayim? Jesus is very simple. When Moshe asked Hashem, in what schud are we going out? Hashem said that you will ta'avdun ala harazeh. That the schud, as Rashi says, what's the schud? In what schud can you go out of Mitzrayim? That you will serve God on this mountain. Meaning, Yetziyat Mitzrayim is not an end in of itself. It's a means to serving God. So look at the next page, on page, 58. So then he says, Ramban. So are these two goals, or are they interrelated? So he says, Ramban, in the introduction to Sefer Shemot, beautifully explains the interrelation of Kabbalah to Torah, building the Beit HaMikdash and Yetziyat Mitzrayim. Galut Mitzrayim extended beyond the geographical confines of Mitzrayim and physical servitude to Paro. Galut lingered until Bnei Israel returned to the spiritual station of their ancestors. Right? The Ramban says in general, the word Geula means a return to your previous status. And therefore, when did you reach Geula? Only when you built the Mishkan, which eventually the Beit HaMikdash, because only then... And the Mishkan is itself temporary. So according to the Ramban, Yetziyat Mitzrayim, Geula can't end with physical freedom. Geula means to return to your original status, which means that when did the Jews return to their original relationship with God? Only with the Mishkan and later the Beit HaMikdash. And he says there are other pieces of evidence that this is true. So how do you tell the Sipur Yetziyat Mitzrayim? The rule is, Matchil Bignut U'Misayim, B'shevach. It's a machol gedrav in Shmuel how you do that. But one of them is, mitchila ovdei avodazar ayu avotenu v'achshav keravnu amakom lavodato. That we start by talking about the fact that Terach was an ovdei avodazara, and we say, and now you've brought us to serve you, meaning the Sibur Yetziyat Mitzrayim itself, according to that shita, is what? Is the narrative arc from us being idolaters to us worshiping in the Beit HaMikdash. That means that the Sipur Yetziyat Mitzrayim itself has to tell the narrative arc of us going from being Ovdei Avodah Zarah to being Ovdei Hashem in the Beit HaMikdash. What does all of this point to? So if you look at the bottom of 58, he says what all this points to is, thus the Beit HaMikdash is an integral part of Sipur Yetziyat Mitzrayim. It is always a mitzvah to remember the Beit HaMikdash. To do so at the Seder is doubly significant, because Zechar LaMikdash is an integral part of Sipur Yetziyat Mitzrayim, hence our declaration before Yin Korech. The various customs which are practiced Zechar LaMikdash, and Rabbi Kiva's addendum to the Brach of Asher Ga'alanu. Celebrating the building of the Beit HaMikdash is an integral part of our Sipur Yetziyat Mitzrayim. It would be self-contradictory to ignore its destruction and not implore Hashem for its rebuilding. We can now appreciate that the convergence of the first day of Pesach and Tisha B'Av upon the same day of the week is not a calendrical coincidence. It indicates that the tragic events of Tisha B'Av negated part of the attainment of Pesach. Thus, it is indeed appropriate as part of Sibur Yitziat Mitzrayim to eat an egg at the Seder Zecher L'Churban HaMikdash. We show our appreciation for Hashem's gift, the culmination of the Exodus, by subtly and symbolically mourning its loss. Recognizing the prominence of the Beit HaMikdash within Sibur Yitziat Mitzrayim illumines. Wow. I didn't know that was a word, but his English is much better than mine. Illumines on the top of 59. Several other two hitherto obscure features of the Haggadah. Right now he says, right, this helps us explain other things. So for example, in Dayenu, we go, Dayenu, we thank God for everything, up to Binyan Beit HaMikdash. Furthermore, in Hallel, when we say that we thank God for taking us from slavery to freedom, from misery to joy, from mourning to festival, etc., the Gra says that these refer to the miracles in each generation. That from slavery to freedom refers to the Exodus, from misery to joy is Yom Suf, from mourning to festival is Har Sinai, from gloom to great light is going to Eretz Yisrael, and from Avdut L'Cherut is up to the days of David and Shlomo. So again, and he says, furthermore, Arami Ovid Avi, he said, why do we pick Arami Ovid Avi? We have to tell the story of Mitzrayim. A major question is, why do we tell the Sefer of Yitzhak Mitzrayim through Arami Ovid Avi and not through Sefer Shmot? What is Arami Ovid Avi, the summary history of the Jewish people? Where do we get it from? From bringing the Bikurim in the Beit HaMikdash. And what's the last Pasuk? Vavienu Ela Makom Azeh. That it summarizes the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim ending with Vayivienu Ela Makom Azeh, that it brought us to this place, the Beit HaMikdash. Now, if that's the case, if that's the whole point, so why do we leave out that pasuk? We don't actually expand on that. So Rav David Zvi Hoffman and the Rav say that no, we do explain that last pasuk. How? In the time of the Beit HaMikdash, we would do it, but now we don't have a Beit HaMikdash, so we leave out that pasuk. However, he doesn't note this, but the Tashbates in his Haggadah actually says we do. Dayenu, he thinks, which ends with the building of the Beit HaMikdash, is the drush on that last pasuk. And then he notes another Pirkei de Rielazar, that Moshe, when he said to Hashem he didn't want to be the Goel, he says, because I know I'm not going to be the final Goel, bring them to the Beit HaMikdash, I don't want to be the Goel from Mitzrayim. And he says, what was Moshe's Havamina? Was that it's such an integrated process that he can't be the Goel unless he can do it from beginning to end. And God says, no, we can do it in stages, but even the Havamina shows the intrinsic connection. And I thought this thesis was very interesting, because what Rav Twersky points out is that, you know, you can look at like the Zecher LaMikdash and say, oh, that's nice and weird, and what is all these things? Or you can say, well, you can notice a pattern and say, we spend so much of the Seder doing Zecher LaMikdash, verbalizing it, doing actions that are Zecher LaMikdash, that mourn the Beit HaMikdash, maybe that points to something else. And his notion that it's not just that, well, we always like the Mikdash, but that Sefer Yitziat Mitzrayim, that the culmination of Yitziat Mitzrayim was the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore the mitzvah of Zecher Sefer Yitziat Mitzrayim, of telling the story, requires invoking the Mikdash. And therefore all these things, even though they're minhagim, and they themselves are not, you know, as important, let's say, matzah, they integrate into the most important mitzvah of the night, which is Sefer Yitziat Mitzrayim, which itself incorporates Zecher LaMikdash. So I thought the idea to say that it's not just stam, oh, on Sinai we do a lot of things that are Zecher LaMikdash and weird, it's that itself is part of the Sefer, and that's why we spend so much time harping on these details of weird minhagim, because they may be minhagim, but the value that they're accomplishing is part of the Iker mitzvah of the night of Sefer Yitziat Mitzrayim. I mean, that I thought was a very important thesis. And again, it explains a lot of different things, from Korech to Karpas to these two things, to the Bracha, to Hallel.
And it also touches on a little bit on what you said about how we take the Mordechai and Esther, and how that relates to the Mordechai and Esther.
Right, and that's exactly my point, right? I wanted to see this because it explains a lot of the symbols of the night and how far we take all these things. Okay, so that's Rav Tversky's thesis on Zeichel Mikdash in general and the Shnei Tavshilin as part of a bigger picture. We will end with that.